The Consciousness in the Cosmos, a path to one's own inner cosmos.
In assistance of the more profound understanding of the current planetary transition.
A stimuli that accompanies the pilgrim in his return to his cosmic home.
The Consciousness and the Cosmos, a radio program of UCSIM, Planetary Service Center.
Hello, dear listeners. My name is Jez.
My name is Arwinak.
My name is Katya.
Daniel often speaks of intra and extraterrestrial civilizations. We have chosen material from two of Daniel Galeardo's books that give us more insight about beings that are assisting the planetary transition.
The books we have chosen are Notes from the Planetary Transition and the Law of Return and Notes from the Path.
Overcome the unclean, disruptive habits that prevent you from being free. You see in your smallness, and then you will discover your greatness. You know sparks within you are bonfires. Discover yourself as a small drop to share and encompass the immense sea of cosmos. And understand definitely that your greatness is only in service, that your fire is only if you overcome darkness and enlighten the dark impoverished. And that you conform to the immense sea only if you alleviate the thirsty.
A paragraph from the book Notes for the Path by Daniel Galeardo.
We are going to read some of the notes for the planetary transition and the law of return by Daniel Galeardo.
What does the term onozone mean?
In reality, all laws are onozone laws. Even material laws are the expression of onozone laws. Material laws are not referred to as onozone laws, only because of their condition and limitations. Reference is made to onozone laws in relation to the higher expressions of law, such as aspects of the law of equilibrium. This includes the higher aspects of cosmic laws and the higher aspects of the higher evolutionary law. Even particles and universes that are under higher evolutionary law already begin to follow the principles of onozone laws in their earliest stages. Onozone is the cosmic language of Eridin, means a state of unalterable harmony, laws of inalterability, and laws of equilibrium. For example, the extraterrestrial civilizations that are already living punctual aspects of onozone laws, that are already under those laws directly, are under the law of equilibrium. They are civilizations that no longer have to work to maintain their equilibrium. Civilizations that are still below those onozone laws, the deeper laws of cosmic life, still have to work to maintain their equilibrium. They must continually guard the search for equilibrium. They must assist the search for equilibrium. You have a sufficiently stabilized state of harmony, but equilibrium you must continually work on. You must find it.
The ceremonial aspects of the search for equilibrium did not end for those cultures, while those that are ready, which are the most advanced extraterrestrial cultures, are the most advanced logoic group. It is the logoic life in its highest level that is no longer a search for equilibrium. They are already an expression, a symbol of what is under the Lords of Honor Zone. That is to say, they are the perfect equilibrium. They are the unalterable harmony. They are unchangeable equilibrium.
That one feels, all that one perceives, the result that one experiences in consciousness, when one achieves inner alignment, when one manages to narrow the distances with one's own inner life, that which is indescribable, that which is felt, that which edifies, that which broadens, that energizes in a particular way, that is already an aspect of Honor's Own. They are already aspects of the laws of Honor's Own, regulated to what the being can live in that moment, because they are immense voltages of energy and of law.
The restoration of the planetary equilibrium relies on the elements that will compose it. The reconnection of the human being from the planet's surface to the inner realm of existence. Phase, which will bring it closer to the sharing with a certain degree, the deep consciousness, symbolize the superficial humanity by the interterrestrial civilizations. The awakening of religiosity does not relate to the conjunctures our civilization lives or adherence to any religion or doctrine. This realization is given by human beings' adherence to a profound an interactive action that the planetary consciousness manifests through the planetary centers.
Eric's center dispenses and conducts energies that are highly representative of the current group. The path of initiation and the awakening of religiosity are part of those energies. Eric operates as a binder vortex from the settlement bases of the 12 internal planetary groups. One of the vibrating nuclei expressing its activity is known by the symbolic name of the Temple of the Sphere, representing the sidereal cosmic presence that interacts in the civilization of Erx. That temple represents the unique sphere of existence. In this state of consciousness, represented by the Temple of the Sphere, the 12 inner groups have based their foundations, where each group expresses the energy of the ray. The governing entities of these groups find the appropriate and suitable vibrational platform to carry out and achieve their purpose in this area. This inexhaustible source of impulses elevates the planetary existence. The work of the seven centers, revealed so far in one way or another, invites consciousness to restore that connection. Through the civilization of Erx, the vibrational patterns and hierarchies maintain the connection between the external consciousness and its internal source. Through this religiosity and a new flow of inner energies that promises fulfilled, and we are openly spoken of the Father. Without re-establishing external internal relationships, the individual can't become receptive to what corresponds to him as the energy of revelation. The truth delivered internally is the voice of the regent. It is to listen to the Father openly. That voice is the whisper of eternity. Erx's state of consciousness is an intra-terrestrial civilization. That it is one of the three most enormous planetary mirrors, along with Mizdlan and Aurora. One of the interpretations of this term in the Erdin language is remained cosmic stars station.
During the previous cycle, many seekers tried to reach the Mecca of consciousness. Shambhala was the light we were supposed to reach. Most of those in search could never reach it. The purity of heart and the transcendence of ambitions kept those portals. The light of Mizdlan shines upon our path. Its sphere of existence speaks to us and tells us what we must transform ourselves into. Cycles have changed, but the guardians are still there. They are nourished by the essence of eternity. Today, the portals lead to an even greater reality than in the past. The pilgrim does not aspire to cross them, but only advances, for he knows no other way to participate in ceremony of existence. His heart throbbed, expressing the rhythm of unique life. The portal fades, and the light of Mizdlan, like an endless beam, points the infinite to the pilgrim.
Speaking of the major planetary centers, would each have a particular ray?
Sí, igual es transitorio y continuamente hay una interacción radial muy fuerte. ¿Sí? Porque como estamos en un sistema solar que está transitando tres etapas marcadamente, ¿sí? Empezó por la tercera, estamos en la segunda y luego en la primera, los rayos de aspecto son muy importantes.
Daniel Gugliardo says, yes, it is still transitory and there is continuously a powerful radial interaction. We are in a solar system that is going through three stages markedly. It started with the third, we are in a second, and then the first. That aspect rays are vital to the crucible of accompaniment that the revealed centers make. Because fundamentally, the first three aspects rays operate through the seven revealed centers. The other hidden rays are continuously operated, not exempting the three aspects rays, the three main centers. Especially now that five rays have been activated since 1988. So we have
a Iberá, a Mizdlan y a Aurora
operating primarily the first ray. Then we have Mirnozad, Erks, Mislitlan,
operating the second ray.
Anutea, Lys, and Mislitlan,
operating the third. That is to say, those three rays of aspects, and always Mislitlan being part of the triad, are the main contributions in terms of energy. Let's see why.
El sistema pasa por tres fases. ¿Sí? Nuestro planeta y el sistema está en la fase intermedia. Entonces, los tres centros revelados lo que hacen es generar, ¿sí?, una especie de potencialización de energía relativo a los tres rayos, que los tres son...
The system progresses through three phases. Our planet and the system are currently in the intermediate phase. The three revealed centers work to enhance energy related to the three rays, all of which are part of this solar system. They distribute these energies with the support of attributes rays to all the other centers, secretly operating. Mislitlan is consistently present within the attribute rays, regardless of how many centers work with them. Let's see why.
Por más que haya centros que estén operando con los rayos de atributo, Mislitlan está siempre presente. ¿Por qué? Porque es omnipresente y omnipotente. Y omnisciente por encima de la omnipotencia, omnisciencia y omnipresencia de los otros centros. ¿En sentido de qué? En sentido de un protocolo ceremonial.
Because it is omnipresent, omnipotent and omniscient above the omnipotence, omniscience and omnipresence of the other centers. In the sense of what? In the sense of a ceremonial protocol. Why? Even though there are more advanced civilizations than Mislitlan, ceremonially, Mislitlan is currently in charge at this stage of the planet. After the transition, conscious interaction will occur between the inner humanities and surface humanity. We refer to the inner humanities as intraterrestrial humanities, as it will no longer be limited as it is today to a greater understanding of and interaction with the intraterrestrial dome. In the next cycle, humanity will come under the influence of the higher evolutionary law, leading to a gradual and conscious interaction with all planet levels, including Mislitlan.
Porque hasta ahora, tanto en el ciclo masculino como en el femenino de la transición, siempre fueron civilizaciones intraterrenas, del nivel interno las intraterrenas las que fueron regiendo. Pero, ¿sí?, a partir de que la ley evolutiva superior sea el campo vibratorio, ¿sí?, de la humanidad de superficie, cuando se agote en cierta expresión, cuando se llegue a un nivel, ¿sí?, de profundización de la ley evolutiva superior, va a asumir, ¿sí?, la regencia planetaria, una civilización que no es intraterrena.
Mislitlan will undergo an intense ascension before passing on its leadership role to another center, Unlike previous intraterrestrial civilizations, this new center will not be intraterrestrial, marking a significant shift in leadership. Until now, intraterrestrial civilizations have been in charge from the inner levels.
As surface humanity evolves according to their high evolutionary law, there comes a point when a certain level of expression is exhausted, leading to a deeper understanding of this law. At this stage, a non-intraterrestrial civilization will take over the planetary governance. Currently, Mistlead Lan represents the intraterrestrial regency, supported by other civilizations, hidden and silent work to maintain planetary stability. It's important to note that relying solely on seven intraterrestrial civilizations for planetary management would not be sustainable. Mistlead Lan can support and endure the planetary situation because there are more intraterrestrial centers that cultly cooperate with the seven revealed ones. And there are three more levels of inner consciousness that respond to intra-oceanic, intra-igneous, and intra-aerial levels, which means there is a hidden, incredible potential of support. If not, with the intraterrestrial potential of seven civilizations in the present condition, they could not. It exceeds all possibilities. That's why four internal monadas categories support the planetary life field in the solar framework.
Do the intraterrestrials follow a spiritual path?
As we understand and follow it.
Cuando termine la transición, la interacción de los centros va a ser consciente entre las humanidades internas y las humanidades de superficie, la humanidad de superficie. Y decimos las humanidades intraterrenas porque ya no se va a limitar, como hoy, a una mayor comprensión, interacción con la cúpula intraterrena.
Intraterrestrials are part of humanity on this planet. Being part of humanity, they are following a path that leads to the transcendence of their human condition. The same as we are living, only that we are in different sections of the path, some more advanced than others. The advanced intraterrestrial humanities are far, far ahead and above this humanity that we conform to. But both humanities are following a path to exhaust their cycle. Their presence within the human kingdom and the intraterrestrials are already leaving that. The intraterrestrials are already living practically in consciousness, which is to participate in the spiritual kingdom, in the divine kingdom. Thank you. The interterrestrial beings, the most advanced humanity on the Earth, are experiencing the last stages of transcendence to the human path. And we are gradually heading as surface humanity to a stage that they already went through some time ago. And that very gradually is similar to that of some internal civilizations of the planet. Very gradually, because we will continue to be surface beings. Some surface beings, others interterrestrial, but surface humanity as a whole will pass to the inner worlds where a whole series of stages and cycles are exhausted. We as humans follow a path of transcendence from the human realm. We are subject to different laws. We are currently governed by the law of karma, and we are progressing towards the higher evolutionary law. Some civilizations more advanced than us are already in the later stages of the higher evolutionary law and are getting ready to make contact with other advanced extraterrestrial civilizations. These civilizations are no longer confined to a solar system, galaxy, or planet. All of humanity, no matter at what stage of development, is evolving beyond its current state. The human realm is just one stage in the journey of consciousness. We are all moving towards higher and deeper stages, some of which are completely unknown to us at this terrestrial stage. Unlike our spiritual growth, these stages don't rely on specific doctrines, religions, or lines of thought. They are united in their understanding and observation of cosmic laws, guided by a higher evolutionary law that unifies them in this sense.
Symbolically speaking, there are no intraterrestrials with the Catholic or Protestant philosophy. Each inner civilization perceives the cosmic reality it is part of in a unified and stable way. At this stage, the inner path is not different from the experience of consciousness in our polarized life. However, it is different for us. We must remember that there is a path to follow and that we must walk it completely in everything we do, not just in occasional movements of remembrance, moments of remembrance. They are unified in consciousness. Every action, every way they manifest their consciousness and every interaction with solar and cosmic life is the practical realization of that path.
They are made up of highly evolved monadas, being with divine consciousness, entities, and logos, depending on the civilization and level of consciousness within it. We will encounter different groupings of consciousness. These groupings aren't separate like caste systems, but rather interconnected with inner civilizations. Beings belong to certain ranks within the civilization based on their level of consciousness, allowing them to embody aspects that others cannot. However, there is continuous intercommunication, interaction, fusion, and unification between all beings, depending on the state of consciousness under consideration. Intraterrestrial civilizations, X, cosmic sidereal remnant station, or cosmic sidereal remnant gathering. What does that mean? Imagine a vast mosaic, not in terms of divisions, but in terms of unity. all the beings, consciousness, hierarchies, energies, and life units form a harmonious civilization and culture. They operate as one in this transition, serving as a stimulus for reconnection to the humanity on the surface. However, there are beings of various consciousness levels from different parts of the universe present there. Some civilizations primarily operate at a specific level of consciousness, which means they are polarized at that level. For example, X is polarized at the monadic level, and some beings of X are exclusively polarized at the primary Aryan divine level. Others are continuously polarized at the level of luminous or light body consciousness. Regardless of their level of interaction, they do so in perfect communion and inner synchronicity, responding to the cycles that unify their culture and civilization. We talked about X, intraterrestrial center, the headquarters of the anchoring of profound energies of the planetary consciousness and the solar and cosmic entities acting in Earth's orbit. X form a triad within the context of the seven intraterrestrial centers revealed so far. Within that triangulation, X interacts with the centers of Mictlantecuhtli and Aurora. All three, in the current cycle, are expressed as major centers. our consciousness will try to approach the energies of Mistlithlan today. This center is the regent state of consciousness within the current planetary polar phase. At the specific level, it can be said that Mistlithlan places its external counterpart in a region of Peru within the context of the Amazonian Andes. This center assumed its regency in 1988 when planetary polarity was moved. A high percentage of the hierarchies that comprise it participated in the regent center of the previous cycle, known as Shambhala.
Mistlithlan can be defined as most advanced interterrestrial civilization. Sanat Kumara, head of the hierarchy in Shambhala, is today the new planetary regent of Mistlithlan. To carry out this task, this high consciousness needs to express higher energies whose vibratory pattern is symbolized in the name that it uses today to reveal itself to humanity. Sanat Kumara is known today as Amunakur, and this name keeps powerful aspects of cosmic energy in its vibration. It cannot be limited to any scope within the planetary sphere. His consciousness is the energy of cohesion for all the elements in this universe Earth. In Iridin's cosmic language, Mistlithlan means wise men who dwell and express their energies of love, wisdom, in a gradation unknown to us on the planet's surface. The new philosophy and the implementation of the new genetic code, such as the uptake of the superior planetary purpose, are expressions and activities undertaken by Mistlithlan.
The energy on a zone finds in this powerful planetary mirror is the most receptive nucleus for its implantation. The laws activate in this center its most profound expression. The superior hierarchy on the planet is Mistlithlan, composed of 12 entities of high evolutionary rank. 7 of them work in varying degrees of externalization, and the remaining 5 work in a hidden way. This information may be modified as the transition cycle progresses and certain elements can interact at material levels under other energy conjunctures. This hierarchical platform revealed to this day is composing of the following:
Amunakur, Sulat Kohuli, Amach, Mayuma, Taikuma, Ashtarashgran, Oshtmiuk.
In parallel to their expression as hierarchies of Mistlithlan, these 7 revealed entities perform other tasks in other planetary centers and solar and cosmic fields. Another task this mirror assumes is to regulate aspects linked to the law of purification, which is acting today with greater intensity on the Earth's surface.
Mistlithlan regulates and neutralizes aspects of disintegrating forces, which work in the opposite direction to evolution. These involutive forces try to interfere with the work that the hierarchy of Mayuma carries out with in-depth knowledge of what must be dissolved and removed from the planet's surface. The destruction they attempt to implant does not recognize the profound purpose to which each particle must reach, causing severe interference in their mission of what the laws reserve for the evolving elements at a certain level of existence.
Miss Li Lan not only captures the divine purpose of the planet, but watches over the life of the particles through which it must be expressed. The energy that governs everything arrives at Miss Li Lan from the central celeste government. This inexhaustible source of impulses establishes the elevation of planetary existence. Many searchers tried to reach the Mecca of consciousness during the previous cycle. Shambhala was the light we were supposed to reach. Most of those beings in search could never reach it. The purity of heart and the transcendence of ambitions kept those portals. The light of Miss Li Lan gleams in our path. His sphere of existence tells us what we must transform ourselves into. Notes for the path. We will discuss information based on the three major planetary centers, a significant triad composed of Eryx, Miss Li Lan, and Aurora. In particular, the information of center Aurora. Keep for some inhabitants of this area of the planet a resonance of a specific tenor, precisely because it is located in the interterrestrial levels in this region of Uruguay. Beyond the various religious connotations which unfold in the external counterpart of that area, the civilization of Aurora does not encourage its cosmic essence doctrinal process, which emerged from an evolutionary profile that is yet to mature enough on the surface of this planet. Aurora represents the consciousness of humanity, the recomposition of the archetype. It expresses the cosmic essence of healing energy, of cure. Aurora is a cosmic cure center with extra systemic scopes. As a potential planet of the school of healers, Aurora acquires, in that sense, a more accentuated character as a planetary mirror. As a supra-physical civilization, Aurora is composed of entities and beings belonging to the lineage of healers. Also, this center maintains a close connection with certain phalanxes of Devas hierarchy and receives members of extraterrestrial civilizations of advanced cosmic evolution within it.
Thank you.
Amakh hierarchy is the head of this center. During the previous cycle, Amakh was known as Master Maurya, a channeler of energies, the first ray being willpower. Today, the flow of this consciousness energy is still expressed in his new role and by the center of Aurora itself. The center deters transmutation streams to all planetary life for expressing healing energies. Human beings not only express different levels of imbalance, of disequilibrium, but they need to transform, to some extent, all evolving particles within this planetary scheme must access the cure, recompose and recommence their connection with the archetypal pattern.
To access what the essence of Aurora offers humanity, the individual must have two fundamental energies in their consciousness, faith and the intention of transformation. Without them, the being cannot become receptive to the elements internally made available to them. The unique energy of the universe is called Honor Zone, and the Eridin language, it means state of unalterable harmony. Honor Zone integrates three streams of interaction with the different phases of the material universe. Brill energy is one of those currents. Brill is healing energy. Its presence in the civilization of Aurora is the foundation of the role that it unfolds.
Like the dynamic principle of any of the active centers on the planet, the eradication of Aurora can be received or even perceived without the need to travel to the superficial counterpart of that place. Area which on a specific level is within the boundaries boundaries of the residency of Aurora, a name that symbolizes what lies there. This does not mean that some individuals do not have to enter, for deep reasons, the solid, subtle magnetic field that that center imposes on that sector. Generally, it would be the prudent not to encourage spiritual tourism in sectors where energies such as auroras emanate. The devitalization of the radiating poles of subtle energy occurs when the flow of people going in their search tends to use it selfishly. Stopping asking and controlling the anxiety of expectation is a step many have yet to take, to understand that what happens to us in our path is given to us by the laws of our growth and learning. The path to the cure and the encounter with emanating energy of Aurora need to be consumed by our transformation. The energy to carry it out is inherent in our deep constitution. Aurora holds the key to a new human consciousness to those who dare to take that step. The time is today. The energy to carry it out is inherent in our profound creation. For those who dare to take the step,